of a star sweetly gleaming, here came the wise men from Orient land. The King of Kings lay thus in lowly manger, in all our trials born to be our friend.
Amen. Thank you, Mrs. Garner and Brother Muse accompanying on the violin, and Miss Camp on the flute. A fiddler and a flautist. Amen. Open your Bibles this morning to Luke chapter 15. Luke chapter 15. And if any of you, those of you who have been around here any length of time, know that one of my favorite stories is the story of the prodigal son. I've often said I have trouble identifying with Paul. Many of those faithful servants of God, but I don't have trouble identifying with the prodigal. Most everybody in here at one time or another has taken the journey of the prodigal. And if you ever came to yourself, your senses, you came back to the Father. Oh, glorious trip. The greatest home run ever is the home run the prodigal made when he came back to the Father and fell down before him and cried out for forgiveness. Now, let me encourage you to be here tonight. You'll want to be a part of the service and hear the choir and the special presentation. And that service begins at 7 o'clock. Please be here and on time and in a sweet spirit. If you found your place in Luke chapter 15, stand with me and I shall begin to read in verse number 11. And read through verse 24. And Jesus said, a certain man had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country. And there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would have fain filled his belly with a husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him, had compassion, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said unto him, Servant, bring forth the best robe, and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand, and shoes on his feet. Bring hither the fatted calf, and kill it. Let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead, and is alive again. He was lost, and is found. And they began to be merry. Heavenly Father, help me as I take this passage of Scripture and bring this message on this Sunday morning. Use it to find a place in the heart and the life of every individual here. Every one of us at one time or another have taken our journey away from God. It may have been a long time ago in our teenage years, or it may have been this year. But every one of us at some time or another said to the Father, I'm leaving. I'm going to do my own thing. Lord, we found the heartaches and the hurts connected with sin and the world. Lord, I thank you for your amazing grace that would love us while we're in the hog pen and encourage us to come back to the Father. And thank you for always being there with forgiveness and cleansing when we come back to the Father's house and cry out for forgiveness. Now, Lord, thank you that you don't put us on probation. Thank you that we don't have to spend years trying to work our ways back into your grace. Thank you that the story of forgiveness is not a story of penitence, but it's a story of a prodigal coming to his senses and saying, I'm going back to the Father and confess that I've sinned and beg for His forgiveness. And Lord, you've promised us that if we will confess our sins, you will be faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I ask you to save every unsaved person in this building today. I'm asking you, Father, if there are prodigals in our midst, may they find a welcome as they come back to an old-fashioned altar and to their Heavenly Father as they seek your forgiveness. And then, Heavenly Father, there are those here who need a church home. They need this kind of church. Would you speak to their heart and let them know this is where they ought to serve, and God, help them to get busy and serve you with all their heart. And then, dear Father, there are those that have been saved and need to get baptized. Let them realize that there'll be no better day than today to get that done. What a wonderful thing it is to be obedient to our Savior. Work in every heart. And Lord, call every backslider and prodigal back to you today. We'll give you thanks and praise in Jesus' name for all you shall do, for it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. I've just read to you the story of a young man who is a picture of many young men and women of our day. It makes no difference if they be from the White House on Pennsylvania Avenue or the poorhouse on the wrong side of the track. People everywhere have been deceived by Satan when it comes to finding real happiness, peace, and joy. That's what I want to speak to you about today, finding true happiness. Now let me say quickly, if you're going to find true happiness, you better learn to look in the right places. You're not going to find it out in the world. Billions of dollars are spent each year on advertising in order to attract the public's attention to some product they wish to sell. And many times they advertise and major on the subject of real happiness and real joy and fulfillment. They advertise that new automobiles are the answer, or new houses, or new clothing, or new boats. Hundreds of new and different things, supposing that happiness is found in things. I can't tell you how many people I've dealt with having marital problems and thought, if we'll just buy a new house and move in it and start over, everything will be right. But hey, can I tell you something? The problem wasn't the old house you was living in. When you moved into the new house, you moved the problems in with you. You're not going to find happiness and peace and joy in things. The world has duped multitudes into thinking that happiness is found in possessing things and fulfilling fleshly desires. How wrong can a people be? Multitudes buy new cars, new homes, and the best clothing, and instead of happiness, they find they've got a pile of bills got to be paid. And they worry about them. And then they discover that their car wears out and their clothes goes out of style, and the interest and taxes go up on their house, and they still have bills to pay. But they haven't brought happiness or peace. Did it ever occur to you that the more affluent and wealthy people are on Prozac and seeing psychiatrists more than any other group of people? If things and money could bring joy and happiness, then they ought to be the happiest people on the earth. But the fact is, they're not. In our scripture story today, we've read about a young man who had been deceived by Satan, just like most people are deceived today. Satan had taught this young man that happiness was found outside of God-given authority for his life. If he could get away from those that had authority over him, he could be happy. What a whopper of a lie. You better learn to live and respect authority. God's always going to put somebody over you. And if you don't learn to respect authority, you're going to be a miserable individual. You can't run away from authority. When you try to run away from authority, the next thing you know, you're running into the hands of the authority, policeman. So, Satan had taught this young man that surely he could find happiness if he could just get away from his God-given authority. Isn't it amazing? He gave up a caring, loving family for honky-tonks and hog pens. He had been taught by Satan that happiness and joy was in the fulfillment of all fleshly and carnal desires of his life. Another whopper of a lie. But it didn't take this young man long to discover that the pleasures of sin are short-lived. You can read the whole story about the pleasures of sin in verse 12, 13, and 14. In fact, just two verses describe the pleasures of sin. Look at verse 12 and 13. This young man, the younger of them, said to his father, "Give me the portion of goods that falleth to me," and he divided unto them his living. Now, you say, why did you include that verse? Because, man, when daddy was doling it out and saying, "All right, I'm going to give it to you," he was saying, "Man, this is wonderful. I'm on my own. I've won the battle. I'm now in charge." But he wasn't ready to be in charge. And then look at verse 13. "And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living." There it is. That's all the pleasure he had. You won't find pleasure described in the rest of it. That's the closest thing to joy and peace and pleasure the Bible says he found. He wasted his substance in riotous living. Then look at verse number 15. By verse 15, this foolish young man had made his way all the way from the father's house to the hog pen. And he went, verse 14, he spent all, and there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of the country, and He sent him into the fields to feed swine. Can you imagine? Just three verses from the Father's house to the hog pen. From eating at the Father's table, from being ready to eat what the hogs wouldn't eat. You see, the ivory palaces in this prodigal's dreams were made out of sticks. They were covered with slop and slime and hog manure. But with his foolish, deceived eyes, he couldn't see it, and he never imagined it. The beautiful tapestry and carpeting in his ivory palace was mud and manure. The laughter and bountiful table was now grunts and squeals from the hogs as they gathered around the slop trough where the hogs ate. Satan and sin always provides the same kind of joy and happiness. Everyone that follows the devil's lie ends up in waste and want, doing things they never thought they'd do. Doing things they'd been taught not to do. The person who's seeking true happiness and joy in this world through sin and possessions need to be on medication. They're out of their mind. And it is not an accident that the Bible says concerning this prodigal in the hog pen that when he came to himself, he started thinking right. He got over his brain block. He overcome brain death. And suddenly he began to think when he came to himself. He said, man, servants at my father's house are better off than I am out here. I'm going to go back to the father and tell him I've sinned. And I'm going to ask him to make me as one of the hired servants. I'll do whatever I have to do to get back into my father's graces, my father's house. Sin had lied to him. Satan had lied to him. And sin and Satan lies to men and women and boys and girls here today. There's no happiness and joy and peace out there in the world doing your own thing. The rules you despise, the standards you despise, the home with the boundaries that have been set for you are all there for your good and your protection to give you an opportunity to mature in life where you can make right decisions, not stupid decisions, not fleshly decisions, not carnal decisions. You see, Mom and Dad would like for you to enjoy some happiness. I don't know of a mom and dad that's right in their thinking that wants their children to be more miserable than they. I've always wanted my children to have greater happiness and greater joy than I've ever known. Now for my message this morning, I want to answer the question, where can true happiness, peace, and joy be found? May I say, first of all, true happiness, joy, and peace can only be found at the Father's house. The Father's house. For every child, for every human being, there is a time in our life that we're to be connected with our biological, our human family, or a family, an adopted family. God intends us to be a part of a family. Because babies can't raise themselves. Babies can't teach themselves. When babies teach themselves, they teach bad character. They learn bad things. They've got to be taught right. So, happiness and joy is at the Father's house, but God not only intends for every one of us to have a relationship in an earthly family, He intends for us to have a spiritual relationship in a church family with God's people and God's family. You see, our Heavenly Father has a house too, a place where His name is attached. It's that place we're to bring our tithes. It's that place where we're to gather to worship. It's that place where we're to go out to serve. It's from that place we're to send missionaries around the world. It's from that place we're to teach and be taught. It's that place we're to find the will of God for our life and fulfill it. God intends for every one of us to have a good Christian home and family, but He intends for us to have a good Bible-believing, Christ-honoring, sin-hating church to be a part of. A church who accepts the Bible as their authority, their final authority. A church who takes to heart the Great Commission and believes our number one responsibility is to carry the gospel around the world. My dear friend, until you make a trip back to the Heavenly Father's house and get your heart and life right with God and become a part of His family, you're never going to find true happiness. Until you learn to live by the principles and the teachings of the Word of God, you're never going to find true happiness. Until you realize there are things that Christians are not to be a part of, and there are things that we're to be a part of, and learn to make the decision to do right about them, we're never going to have happiness and peace. Some of you would be prodigals, think you can find happiness if you can just get away from home and those restrictions. After all, you know so much better than your old parents. They're just old fogies. They don't understand the needs of young people. Hey, surprise, kids. Mom and Daddy were young once. That may be hard to believe, but they know what you're dealing with because they had to deal with it. It was packaged a little different and had a different name, but they had to deal with it too. They know what you're going through. They know the dangers. Some of them have been there. Some of them have fallen into those dangers. I'm amazed how people think they can be happy if they can just get away from church and those Bible standards and foolish Bible rules. Some of you have tried it, and you didn't find joy and peace and happiness. Some of you hate the fences, the standards, the rules. You want to get across the fence. Now, you're not going to like falling off into the precipice. You're not going to like falling off of the cliff. But you just hate the rules. You know what that is? That's more depravity showing itself in you than spirituality. Depravity says their rules, their restrictions, they're against us. A walk with God says their boundaries for my protection and my help and my happiness. We've got to learn the difference. Some of you have not learned the difference. You say, if we can just be allowed to do our own thing, life would be so much better. They say if we could play our own taste in music and live by our own standards and choose our own lifestyle, we'd be so much happier. Well, they've tried that. And their own choices and their own lifestyles have caused them to change the song "I Saw Mommy Kissing Santa Claus" to "I Saw Daddy Kissing Santa Claus." They say that 2006, things are much different now. But God and His Word are not different today. God didn't throw away His Bible when 2000 rolled around. The wages of sin are not different in 2006. It's still death. Let me introduce you to a list of young prodigals that believed the phony baloney of the devil. Let's see how much better they are and how much happier they are today. I could call the name of a young man that cannot hold a job because of dope and how it's wrecked his mind and wrecked his life. It took the life of a sister and took the life of a mother. Dope. I could call the names of young ladies that have gone out away from God and away from family and messed up their life in sin. Have little babies that were born out of wedlock. You tell me they're happier. Happiness does not create the river of tears and heartaches and hurt. There are those who said, I'm going to go out on my own and live my own lifestyle. Now they have no place to live except the jailhouse or a halfway house. I could go on and on and on. There are no happy endings when we turn away from the Father and His Word and His house and take the journey of the foolish prodigal. There are no happy endings. They don't live happily ever after. The two things that never change are, number one, you're created for a personal relationship with God. And there's no lasting happiness without a right relationship with God. That never changes. Number two, sin will always rob you of happiness, joy, and peace and bring you down, down, down to the stink of the hog pen. Secondly, not only will true happiness and joy and peace be found back at the Father's house, true happiness, joy, and peace can only be realized in complete forgiveness by the Father, the Heavenly Father. Look at verse 21, 22, 23. And the Son said unto him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. I love this story. I love it because God wrote it down the way we think. The prodigal was thinking when he was in the hog pen, man, the servants in my father's house are better off than I am. I'm going to go back and become a servant and work my way back until my father's willing to forgive me. And he had his little speech prepared. He rehearsed it. Read it. He said, I'll go to my father and I'll say I've sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and I'm not worthy to be thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. He said, I'm willing to work as a slave for you because it's better off in my father's house than out there in the world on my own in sin as a prodigal. So he got up, came back to his father and said, Father, I've sinned and I'm not worthy to be thy son. Before he could say anything else, the Father jumped in. But the Father, the next scripture says, bring a robe and put it on him, a ring, put it on his finger. Why didn't the Father let him finish his prepared speech? Because God does not require us to work our way back into the Father's good graces. He does not put us on probation. When we confess our sin and ask for His forgiveness, that's what He requires. Now let me say to you, the prodigal didn't send a letter from the hog pen and say, while I'm out here in the hog pen continuing to live in the honky-tonks in the world, would you forgive me? No, the prodigal got up out of the hog pen. He left it behind and came back. He didn't stop at the gate and holler, Daddy, I want to come home. Let's negotiate terms. No, he came to the Father and said, I've sinned. Whatever it takes for me to be right with you, I want to be right. And all that God required was his crying out for forgiveness, confessing that he had sinned. And when he did, God forgave him. God forgave him. God forgave him. And brought him back in, not as a servant, but a son. A son. The only way a sinner can find happiness and peace is to cry out to God, confessing his sins and seeking his Father's forgiveness. David committed a terrible sin. David committed adultery with Bathsheba. Had Uriah, her husband, put at the forefront of battle so he could get killed. A terrible sin. Now you listen to me. David still had the king's scepter in his hand, but he didn't have happiness, joy, and peace. David still had the crown on his head. He was still king, but he didn't have peace, joy, and happiness. David still sat on the throne and lived in the palace, but he had no peace, joy, or happiness. Until Psalm 51, when he cried out to God and acknowledged his sin and asked God to forgive him. Then God forgave him, and he could begin again to have peace in his heart and in his life. Thirdly, true happiness and peace can only be found when you have a place of fellowship and acceptance in the family. It can only be found when you have a place of fellowship and acceptance in the family. The prodigal had a home. He had a father who loved him. He had a place where they cared about him and his well-being. Yet he was back here in the hog pen. Daddy didn't care about the fact what he had left in his pocketbook. He cared about him. He cared about his life. He had a place where they accepted him when he asked for forgiveness. They accepted him even though he had made terrible mistakes and the world had left its mark on him. May I say to you that that's what a church ought to be? A church ought to be a place where when people sin, when they take the journey of the prodigal and they come back confessing their sin, asking forgiveness, they ought to be forgiven. They will be forgiven by God. They ought to be forgiven by the family. And they ought to be accepted back into the fellowship. But not without the confession of sin. Not without the returning from the hog pen. Here's what the world wants today. The world wants us to tolerate their sin and ignore their sin and accept their sin and accept their continual hog pen lifestyle and still bring them into the family with acceptance. That's not God's program. God's program is that they come to their senses, confess their sin. God will forgive their sin. The church is to forgive their sin and to accept them back into the fellowship of the family. And there can be no happiness and peace until that's done. I know Christians today that are living in misery because they're not willing to come back to the Father's house for acceptance and forgiveness. And fourthly, true happiness and peace can be ours only when we've settled our future. True happiness and peace can be ours only when we have settled our future. This prodigal realized that his future was not in the harlots' houses or the honky-tonks or the world. He realized quickly that his future wasn't in pork. You know, I can think of three men in the Bible that had a change of appetite. This prodigal never liked pork after he got out of the hog pen. Peter never liked chicken again after the night of the betrayal and the rooster crowed. And Jonah never liked fish again after 3 days and three nights in the belly of that whale. The prodigal's future was settled only after he came to the Father and asked for forgiveness. He was no longer the lost son. He had been found. He was now returned to the place, not of a servant, but to the place of a son in the family. That robe, that ring, those shoes all gave identity to him, not as a wayward, worthless one, but as a son that had come home. Whew. And I say to you today, you're never going to have peace and joy. You're never going to have a life worth living and a future to look forward to until you've settled your future. I'm not talking about just your future in this life. I'm talking about your future in this life and your eternity. And that future cannot be settled apart from faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Faith and trust in Him. His future was secure in the Father. You know how I'm going to be accepted in heaven? Not in Bob Smith and his goodness, but I'll be accepted in Christ, in His shed blood, in His forgiveness, in the grace of the Father. I won't stand there and beat my chest and cry like Tarzan and tell God how good I was. Like the songwriter said of years gone by, I'll stand there and say, nothing in my hand I bring, simply to the cross I cling. You don't have a future until you've come to Jesus Christ. You don't have a future until you've settled your eternal destiny. You'll never have a life of joy and peace here, and you have nothing to look forward to except hell until you come back to God and cry out for salvation through His Son, Jesus Christ. If you're here today and you're unsaved, you need to come and get saved. You're in the right place. You need to come and let us show you in the Bible how Jesus will forgive your sin and save your soul today. Maybe you're here today and you are a Christian and you've taken the journey of the prodigal. You've been away from God. You need to get your life right. You have no future like you are. Just some more heartaches, more tears, more disappointments, more regrets, more shame, guilt. Won't you come back to the Father? Won't you tell Him you've sinned? Won't you ask His forgiveness? He'll not turn you away. If you're sincere, He is. If you'll cry out for His forgiveness, He says, all that come unto me, I'll not cast one out. He says, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. He said, if you'll just confess your sins, Christian, He's faithful and just to forgive your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. All sin will steal everything from you. This young man had wasted his youth and wasted his resources. He had lost everything. Sin had done its awful work of stealing everything that mattered out of his personal life. Sin had almost stolen his life and his eternity. But his life and his future, his place and his privilege as a son was all restored when he came back to the Father asking forgiveness. And that story is still true today. That's our hope. That's our need. Not in ignoring our sin and ignoring our lost condition, not in ignoring our status as the prodigal, but when we begin to think right, when we come to ourselves, our senses, we'll see ourselves as a sinner. We'll see ourselves separated from God. We'll see ourselves with no future and no hope until we come to the Father. And I beg you today, dear friend, man, woman, boy, or girl, come back to the Father. He wants to save you, lost sinner. He wants to forgive you, wayward son. He wants to restore life and give you a purpose with life worth living here and heaven to look forward to forever. You won't find it out there in the world. You won't find it going against God's book. You'll find it when you come back to the Father and follow His program. Then you can have complete and forever forgiveness. And you can have lasting peace and joy. And you can enjoy happiness that comes from the source of all happiness, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Heavenly Father, that's our message this morning. Now, Heavenly Father,